Good evening, dear ones, and welcome to our midweek church service on the seventh day of February, 2018. Greetings to those on the phone, those listening to the recording, and praise God for his merciful kindness throughout the first part of this week. Our opening song is titled, Draw Me Nearer. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, near, blessed Lord.
I'm going to try this and see if I stay in. If I don't, I'll sing along with you silently. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord.
Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I dwell in heaven with thee. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, near, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. And may we ever be drawn nearer to him for eternity. I ask you to please bow your heads and your knees for opening prayer to tonight's service. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy merciful kindness, thy tender love. Thank you for being in control of all things. Thank you that we can safely leave all affairs in thy most capable hands, knowing that thy perfect love and wisdom will be accomplished and is the best. We pray that thy presence will be with us tonight, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, and may we receive a feast, a great blessing from above, in understanding the words of life that will be digging into, and please, Spirit, open our understanding to behold wondrous things out of thy word. Please be with all of those who have requested prayers. Please hear and answer according to thy perfect will. Be with the workers all around the world and let the truth spread like wildfire. And thank you so much for doing so. And that we're one day closer to seeing this dark world filled with thy glory as the waters cover the sea. Be with our church family. Continue to bless each one. Lead and guide each one upward, ever higher. And thank you for the privilege of coming together and worshiping thee in spirit and in truth. Help us indeed to be the church family that you would have us be, that you died that we would be. And plant your love within our hearts that we might truly exhibit to the world that we are your children. Thank you for being here and for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So again, welcome, dear ones, and we're continuing in our study book of Acts. We're in chapter 7. And we left off at verse 16, or 16 was the last verse that we read, and Stephen had begun to answer for himself, and he began to relate history. Didn't even bother acknowledging the charges that were made against him or starting to refute them. He just went right into history, and the history was pertinent to what he had to share with them. And the last thing that we examined was he mentioned that Abraham had been promised the land of paradise, but he never once was able to obtain the answer to his prayer, the fulfillment of that promise. It was for generations in the future to actually have that promise fulfilled to Abraham on. So Abraham was there by faith, trusting that God would fulfill his promise in his good time, even though that was not during the lifetime of Abraham. And so we need to have that same faith that whether it's our kids we're praying for salvation of, or whether it's some other cause that really has the affections of our heart in, we need to trust that God has heard our prayer, that he will answer it according to his will in his timing, even though we may no longer be alive to see the fulfillment or the answer of our petitions. That is resting in the love of God for you. And that's what Abraham did. But there's still more history here that Stephen brings out. And so we begin at verse 17 of chapter 7 in Acts. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. Now, it's interesting here. Everybody had to know about Joseph. I mean, he was the second ruler in Egypt. He was the one that saved the Egyptian nation from certain starvation. He was the one that saved the surrounding country inhabitants from starvation. So everybody had to know about Joseph. So we're not dealing with just the king after the one that promoted Joseph. We're dealing with 400 years of pharaohs. So what's that, like one every 30 to 40 years? So we're dealing with 10 generations of pharaohs. And finally, the history of Joseph kind of faded out of the memory of the Egyptians. Now, it was in their records, but I believe that just as Ramesses went and was so desiring to hog all the glory that he chiseled away the names of different architects and put his own name there. So because Joseph was not Egyptian, he was Hebrew. I imagine the same thing was done to their historical records. And all mention of his name had been eradicated from their historical documents. So finally, we get 10 generations down the way, and this king of Egypt, this pharaoh, didn't know anything about Joseph. Now, his sepulcher was still there, but the history of what Joseph had done in preserving that kingdom and people had been forgotten. Are there any other thoughts or comments? Continuing, verse 19. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end that they might not live. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. So Moses knew how to talk. He wasn't lost for words. So then, if this is true, then after Moses fled Egypt and was 40 years in the wilderness, and then he met the great I Am at the burning bush, why did Moses plead with God to have someone else speak before Pharaoh? Because Moses said, I don't know how to speak. Why would he say that if this here in Acts says that he was mighty in words and in deeds? Any ideas? Yeah, that's true. My mom and I was talking about this the other night. Moses had been 40 years in the wilderness there after he fled Egypt. And he did not speak Egyptian all of those 40 years. So that memory of his younger life, how to speak fluent Egyptian, was now lost to his practice and his remembrance. So it wasn't the fact that, that's true, after 40 years you could also have changes in meaning of words and slang words brought in and so on. So it's not that Moses couldn't speak. It's not that he was lost for words or stammering in his tongue. It's that he did not trust himself to speak fluent Egyptian before Pharaoh and the rest of his court. And he did not want to look stupid or have lack of polish, in other words, to correctly represent God before all of that court. And so, you know, if Moses was to speak Hebrew or Aramaic or whatever, that was fine. But here it was Egyptian. But Aaron knew the Egyptian language fluently because he didn't escape with Moses for the 40 years. He remained there in Egypt. So just a little tidbit there of information. So Moses was mighty in words and deeds, continuing, And when he was full, 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. Now remember, this is when Moses was still in Egypt. Not 40 years later when he met the great I Am there at the burning bush, who said, I've heard the cry of my people and I'm sending you to deliver them. This is 40 years earlier when Moses understood that God was going to use him to deliver his people. But notice how Moses acted on his belief. He used violence to deliver his people. I mean, after all, he was a mighty general. He had conquered nations in the name of Pharaoh. So that's what he was accustomed to. That's what he was trained for. And that's what he depended on to deliver the people, his abilities. So now he's not trusting in God's abilities. He's trusting in his own in order to deliver the people. That's not faith. That's the lack of faith. And it's the same problem today. People depend on what they can do. They depend on their talents and abilities in order to please God. Well, we're of a sinful nature. Everything we do is contaminated. How is that pleasing to God? So without faith, it's impossible to please God. It doesn't matter how brilliant you may be, how many talents you may have, how gifted you are. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we can't depend on what we can do in order to please God. We have to, by faith, accept Christ as our sacrifice and what he can do for us in order to please God. Amen. Comment in the room says, we start declining when we are separated from him. That's true. So Moses believed that he was beginning to deliver his people by relying upon his military talents to avenge the Egyptian that he saw beating one of his fellow Hebrew brethren. And he expected that the Hebrews, his fellow brethren, would be happy that he came to their rescue, and that this was an evident token that God was going to use Moses to deliver them. But they understood not. Verse 26. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? So now Moses understood that if it's common knowledge among the Hebrews that Moses killed in order to avenge one of his Hebrew brethren, that surely one of the Hebrews had already passed it on to the Egyptians, and it had already gone to Pharaoh, and soon Pharaoh was going to send a dispatch of military soldiers to take Moses. So he fled. He made a big blunder because he supposed God was going to approve of his own abilities to obey God. And we make the same big blunder, maybe not the same level of greatness as Moses did, but we still blunder every time we depend on what we can do in order to please God. Again, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with faith, it is possible to please Him. Because we're no longer relying on what we can do. We're relying on what Christ can do through us. And it's Christ's blood, merits, and righteousness that make us worthy in God's sight. Are there any other comments? Let's see. One could understand that the Hebrews would not trust Moses because Moses was part of the hierarchy of the Egyptians. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And that would cause a whole bunch of suspicion that he's just a spy working for Pharaoh. So I can understand that. Another comment, it says, there were double-minded Hebrews in the crowd. Now, I imagine there were. I imagine that if they buddied up to one of the Egyptian taskmasters and passed information on. Okay, verse 29. Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then the Lord said to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, Stephen is still speaking, this Moses whom they refused, referring to the Hebrews saying, who made thee a judge and a ruler over us? So they refused him as a judge and ruler over them. This Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel, which appeared to him in the bush. So at first, the Jews refused Moses to deliver them. But 40 years later, they were hesitant at first, but then they finally, with the miracle that Moses performed there, with the staff turning into a rod and with his hand being leprous until he put it back in his coat, that convinced them that God indeed had raised up Moses to deliver them, and they accepted him to a point. But they refused him at first. So Stephen is bringing out this history to make the point to the church leaders that they're repeating this same history. And we'll find out more next time. Any other thoughts, any other comments before we open it up to a season of prayer? Amen. History does repeat itself. So if you want to know what's going to happen in the future, look in the past. And when you see the same history repeating itself, then you know what's coming next. Something similar to what had already occurred in the past. So if we are history students, then we'll be able to understand what's coming and be better prepared for it. True. True, people will become more double-minded. That is very true. More unstable because they lack standing on the rock Christ Jesus, and thus they don't have a firm foothold. And they will fall. True, true. They will lose their love because they don't know God. That's true. And when love grows cold, then it can be quite amazing how much harm an individual can do towards his fellow brethren. Because there just is no affection. There's no morality. There's no barrier to keep them from going down into corruption and hatred. And that was one of the signs of the last days that Christ gave in Matthew 24, that the love of many shall wax cold, and brethren shall betray brethren. Children betray their parents, parents betray their children, all because there's no godly love in their hearts for one another. That's a good point. People become objects instead of brothers and sisters. That's very true. People that lack love view their brothers and sisters as objects, as things that need to be taken out of the way if they are standing in their way, preventing them from doing wrong, or exposing their wrongs, trying to bring them back to God. They're just looked as obstacles that need to be removed one way or another. So that is very true. So there's really only going to be two groups in these last days. Those who have the love of God in their heart for one another and those who don't. And truly, by their fruits, they will be known which camp they belong to. Any other thoughts, comments? So let us make sure that we have the love of God in our hearts. That's been put there by the Holy Ghost, which God has given to them who obey him. And let us be history students as well. So next time we'll pick it up at verse 36. And let's go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. And I'll go ahead and start. And whoever else would like to pray, please feel free. So let us bow our heads and our knees. Precious Father in heaven, thank you so very much that you are in control of all things and that there's nothing we need worry about but to rest in thy love and to watch, pray, work in faith, and indeed to let others know the nearness of thy coming, the present truth, so that they may get ready to meet the Lord Jesus when he comes. Thank you for waking us out of darkness and bringing us into thy marvelous light. continue to lead us upward step by step, increase our ability to comprehend and discern truth, and the grace and strength to follow it, even if there may be no other person near us or any brothers or sisters that understand the same as you have opened our understanding to. Thank you for giving us the weight of evidence in thy inspired word to know which path to take, and that we don't have to focus on one or two areas, but can focus on the complete big picture and know exactly what the best path is. Be with our brethren, lead and guide them into all truth, away from all error, away from wrong positions, false understandings, and help us indeed to be established in the truth, so firmly fixed on the rock that we cannot be moved, no matter what weight is brought to bear upon us. Let the truth be so precious that it's worth dying for Jesus is the truth. And thank you for the grace and the strength that you give us when we look up for help. Please grant us the extra grace and strength to make it through the next couple days until the Sabbath is here, the delightful day of the Lord, that we may spend in his company and with others of like faith, focused upon our Savior and our Father, from whom all blessings flow. Thank you for thy love, and we love you too, and fix it in our heart, immovable, that we may indeed be your children and save souls. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Dear Father, please take away the stony heart and replace it with your heart of love. Amen.
And amen. Are there any songs that you'd like to sing? Anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones?
Please go right ahead.
That's a beautiful hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Pray precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Blessed Savior, thou hast promised, thou wilt all our burdens bear. May we ever, Lord, be bringing all to thee in earnest prayer. Soon in glory bright unclouded, there will be no need for prayer. Rapture, praise, and endless worship will be our sweet portion there. Amen. What a friend indeed. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Well, dear ones, are there any other songs, any other thoughts, comments, any questions that you'd like to share before we close tonight? Please feel free. May God bless, dear ones. Have a good night's sleep, and those on the other side of the world, have a wonderful day. And looking forward to the Sabbath when we can fellowship once again. So keep looking up, keep walking by faith, keep your hand in the hand of the man who walked on waters, for he is your friend, come what may. So good night, dear ones.